Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. And Father, as we go into the ministry of the word, we ask that you teach us. We ask that you guide us into all truth. Remove every distraction and open our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. You are welcome to God's presence. You can be seated. Welcome your neighbor with a smile. Hallelujah. All right. We are all welcome to God's presence. The Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy. So no matter what, just make sure that you maintain a happy countenance. Amen. We have been looking at understanding your calling. Understanding your calling. Because you cannot fulfill your calling properly if you do not understand your calling. You cannot fulfill your calling. You cannot properly fulfill your calling if you do not understand it. The devil understands this very well. And so one of his jobs is to keep you distracted. Now, before you were born again, you were under the power of the devil. But now that you are born again and you are in Christ, you are abiding in Christ, you are no longer under the power of the devil. You are now under the power of God. That is why the devil cannot wake up and decide that it is time for you to die. It's not given to him. He can do that for people that are under his power, but he cannot do that to you. If he could kill people, somebody like me, he would have killed me long ago. Because I am actively destroyed, binding his demons and setting people free from his grip. And I know in the number of times that the devil has attempted to kill me recently. I was discussing with one of my brothers this morning, and I was just telling him about an attack I experienced not long ago. And I said, well, I knew that the devil wanted to kill me because I actually saw somebody doing an enchantment against me. I said, it's just that I knew that my time to die has not come. I knew. I said, that's why I'm standing here today, because the devil does not have that kind of power to kill me. He can kill many people, but if you are in Christ, you belong to Christ. It's just like, if something belongs to you, you know that if something truly belongs to you, you will be very careful to ensure that it is taken care of if you're a responsible person. Bro, my car is downstairs. If I begin to hear boo, ba, ba, and it looks as if somebody is banging a car, it will distract me because my car is downstairs. But if my car is not downstairs, I may not be distracted because things like that happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm trying to explain to you is that for you who has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that Jesus is your Lord, that you are abiding in Christ, because it's possible for you not to abide. Jesus, our Lord, says, abide in me. It's possible for you not to abide. It's possible for you to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, but after some time, you go back to the world. You don't abide. It has happened to many people. In fact, from my own estimation, most people that accepted Jesus Christ in this time do not abide. Jesus gave a parable of seed that was sowed. It was only one out of the four categories of soils that was fruitful. If you go for evangelism, for those of us that go for evangelism together, you bear me witness. There are many people, if you look at my list, that accepted Jesus Christ, and many of them sincerely. But just 2 weeks down the line, how many of them are abiding? So that's why the Lord says abide. Now I'm saying if you abide in Jesus, you are literally his property. And so he's not going to allow the devil to kill you. The devil cannot just wake up and say, today we will kill him. He's not giving to him. Are we together? It's not giving to him. You need to, because there are some things that when you are fearing, is a very ignorant fear. You are not supposed to be fearing death. The Bible says that he may deliver them who all their lives had been captives because of the fear of death. The only reason why you can fear death is if you are not sure that you are abiding in Christ. Because if you are abiding in Christ and the Spirit of God is abiding in you, one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do for you is that he will help you, he will crystallize the visions of God in your heart. He will give you an idea of the assignments that God has for you. That's what we are calling your calling. There's a general word for us to be sanctified or for us to be saints. Then there is the peculiar, particular word, individual call that he has for you. He will let you know. And you will know that, because you know that you have an assignment that is divine. If you are abiding in Christ, you will know that you cannot die until that work is done. Amen? Before Paul died, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Why many believers are, there are a number of reasons why believers, you see that believers are afraid of dying. They are so afraid. One of the reasons is because of ignorance. The second reason is because they are not actively fulfilling the assignment of God. Jesus Christ said a prophet cannot die outside Jerusalem. Do you know how many times they tried to kill Jesus until his time came, they couldn't touch him? The same with Apostle Paul. So, I want you to graduate from living that life where you are afraid of dying, you are afraid of dying of COVID-19, you are afraid of Abraham killing you where you are traveling. You can come out of that realm because you know that the work that Jesus said I should do, I've only done 20% of it. I can't die now. Another reason why believers die is when they are not faithful. They are not doing the work. So they know that they are not, because if you are useful in the hand of God, God will not allow you to die before your time. But there are some branches that, because they are not fruitful. In fact, it's God that we say we call them home. Because actually, if you are in Christ, if you are a branch in him, any believer that is in him, I'm talking about a believer that is no longer abiding in him. If you are in him, he is the one that determines where you will die. And there are many believers that it is the one that called home. I was listening to one of my mentors. He's an electrical engineer by training. Very brilliant man, but he's a pastor. That's what he's been, a pastor. In fact, if you know, he's quite popular. I'm not going to call his name. Okay. If you Google him, I call him my mentor because one of my teachers, he had a colleague. These guys were the dons. They were like the scholars in their class, University of Lagos. He had a colleague. They were in campus fellowship together. They were serving Jesus together. They were both electrical engineers. Or they are both electrical engineers. And they both knew that God was calling them into ministry. You know that it's not everybody that God is calling into this kind of ministry that I am doing. But there are some of you here, you already know that God is calling you into ministry. You know that your life, the work of your life, is preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. That's your work. Every other thing is secondary. Are you following my point? And both of them knew. They knew when they were undergraduates. They knew. But this other pastor, he answered the call. Of course, if you understand one thing about the call of God is more important than money. Are you understanding my point? This whole idea that we need money to answer the call is because you don't know the person that sent you. If you know the person that sent you, we know that if he says go, even if you don't have shoe to go, you will now see that he is more powerful than Mammon. This other person, he was telling this story. Years passed, 5 years, he was working in the oil company. He said, he will call his friend that was now a pastor. I know I'm supposed to be serving the Lord. I know I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel. But let me just gather money. Let me gather money so that when I gather enough money, I will preach the gospel. Now, I've heard people say that nonsense a lot. And I have never seen one person that ever answered the call. If you keep saying that, let me just walk first and gather money. When I gather money, then I will answer the call. That means the call of God is secondary. It's not that important. Gathering money is that, because it's what is most important that you will do first and foremost. I don't want to be preaching that if you look as if I'm begging. It's pride. You will not look like you are begging. God is the one that sent you. Anyway, a few years down the line, this man, 10 years, he will call. He say, ha! Hey, I know that what you are doing. Meanwhile, by this time, even that other person that was following the here answering the call of God upon his life, by this time it was clear that God was even now blessing him. Money was no longer his problem. Amen. You're welcome, sir. This is one of my brethren in church. So nice to have you here. Pastor Sukobi. God bless you, sir. Now, actually, the call of God was, do you know that not long after that, this man died? And his friend knew exactly why he died. You see, any branch in me that does not bring forth fruit is taken away. There are many believers that have died before their time because they are not fulfilling the call. The reason why God gave them life, the reason why God allowed their mother to give birth to them, the reason why God put grace, the ability that they are using to do marketing for TNC, for GNLD, the real grace is for them to be an evangelist. They have the ability to convince people. People just like them. God gave them those endowments for the purpose of a certain assignment that he has given them. But they are not fulfilling it. That's another reason why believers die before their time. It's not God's will for anybody to die before his time. But when you find a believer that has died before his time, you cannot be fruitful, you cannot be usable in the hand of God. Except rebellion enters your life. And the enemy will be able to have power over your life. I told us the story of a tree in my father's compound. Orange tree. Was it here I was telling the story? That orange tree, for 4 years, 5 years, it was just stunted like that. If at the day they removed it, nobody even bothered. They had done the fertilized it, they had watered it. Other trees were growing big. That one was just stunted. So when my sister was about to get married, they were doing the engagement. They just removed the tree. Now, do you think if it was a fruitful orange tree, they would allow them to touch it? No. No. My dad would not agree. Say, that tree that is fruitful. No. But you know why they just removed the tea? They wanted to put canopy. They just removed it. Because it was not fruitful. I think after a few years, it brought like three fruits. I had already brought like three. Is that a fruit? You know, when Jesus Christ defined fruitfulness, he said in that parable of the sower, he said, and they were fruitful 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. There may be some fruits in your life, but if you are not full of fruit, the master may not consider you to be fruitful. And what is fruitfulness? Fruitfulness can be defined according to the purpose. You know, where God has a plan for you. For example, an orange tree. When you plant an orange tree, the reason why you planted it there is not just for it to occupy space. It's so that after some time, it will bring in fruit. There are some trees that you plant. The reason why you put them there is not for fruit. It's for aesthetics. It's for shed. If the tree that is meant for shed is just growing tall and is bringing fruit but is not producing shed, as far as you are concerned, it's not fruitful. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God has, when you talk about fruitfulness, God has expectations of you. The call of God upon your life was determined before you were born. Many of us talk about predestination. If I see people, when they want to preach strange doctrines, you begin to hear them say a lot about predestination. Amen. And it's a true doctrine. But if there's anything you must get out of the doctrine of predestination, is that everything that God does, he planned to do it. Amen. Everything that God does, if there's anything we are not talking about predestination today. But if there's anything you must learn, you must understand about because predestination is a doctrinal, it's a scriptural doctrine. If there's anything you must get out of that, is that everything that God does, He planned it. God does not just wake up and say, ah! I just know everything He does, He plans it. And you should be like that too. Amen? Plan your day, plan your money, plan your spending. So that you're just walking down the road and you see orange, and you say, ah, see orange. You see cloth, you say, ah, see cloth, you go and buy. No, don't be like that. Be like your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Plan, plan. Now, we saw that, one, there is a general call that we all have. And God expects all of us to become saints. What does that word saints mean? You know, when you are being purified, what will happen as a result of you being purified, you will be pure. Right? When you are being perfected, what will happen as a result of you being perfected? You will be perfect. Is that also? When you are being glorified, what will happen as a result? There will be glory in your life. When you are being sanctified, what happens as a result of that? You will be a saint. Are you understanding my point? And we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that to those who are called to be saints, and the way God makes you a saint is by sanctifying you. What does sanctification mean? We have discussed that here several times. That's the way by which God separates you from the world, from the system of the world, from the value system of the world, from the corruption of the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His divine nature, has He given us all things? Has He given us great and exceeding promises? That by them we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is something about the world that brings about, you know what corruption means? That word corruption is, you know, is a very popular word in Nigeria. Corruption is the reason why if you put a mango fruit here now, after some days it will start getting rotten and smelling. That's the process of corruption. Corruption is what happens after something dies. If your fowl dies in the compound, the fowl dies in the compound, and you leave it there, after some time, what will happen? It will decay. That's corruption. There is something in the world that the Bible refers to as corruption. And the way by which God delivers us from that corruption, you know, the Bible says that if you walk in the flesh, He's talking to believers, He says you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the works of the flesh, you will live. If you find a believer that is walking in the flesh, what is happening is that what he will be reaping as a result of his walking in the flesh is corruption. Now, I have described what corruption is. Hallelujah. Galatians says that if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life eternal. There are some people, I still remember my friend, Pastor Larry. He's a very spiritual person. There was one particular guy that used to fix laptops. After some time, Pastor Larry told me, he said, I cannot take my laptop. And that guy was like one of the best laptop repairers dead in our town. He said, I cannot take my laptop to me. He said, death is in his hands. And I noticed it too. Because I still remember I took a laptop to him. And I think it was a sound that was not working. By the time he touched the laptop, by the time he put his hand on that laptop, the mouse stopped working. He said, death is in his hands. And he gave story upon story upon story. There are some people that if they drive your car, it will spoil. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will love the flesh, reap what? Corruption. And then there are some other people that life is in their hearts. Peace. The Bible calls it life and peace. He said, but if you sow to the Spirit, you will love the Spirit, reap what? Life and peace, eternal life. Let me give you an example. Can I ask a question? Can you mention one thing you do that by doing it you are sowing to the Spirit? I will ask you because I know you do some of those things a lot. Because now the problem with many believers is that they do things that by doing them they sow to the Spirit, but they cancel it out by also doing things that by doing them they are sowing to the flesh. May God help us in Jesus' name. Can you mention one thing that you do that as you do, by doing it you are sowing to the Spirit? Prayer investment. God bless you. You find a believer, I can tell you from personal experience, that says from this moment, from today, I will pray for 30 minutes in tongues every night. curb rage, curb shy, curb tiredness, curb full belly, curb empty stomach. I will pray at least 30 minutes every night. Let me tell you what he's doing. He's sowing to the spirit. He's sowing to the spirit. The next time he lays his hands on the sick person, he just realizes that life is transmitted and that sick person becomes well. He comes to a place and he doesn't even, and many times, unfortunately, believers are not as conscious of these things as unbelievers. That life is the substance by which we minister. Somebody is in trouble, you call him and say, go, it is well with you. And life is released. How did that happen? He was sowing to the spirit. So one of the things you do, one of the most effective ways you sow to the spirit is by prayer, by investing. I like the way you put it, prayer investment. I'm not just talking about convenient prayer. I'm talking about prayer that you take out time to pray. There are some problems that when you give yourself to prayer like that, you will just wake up and discover that the problems have, they've gone. Because those problems were sponsored by demons. Oh, I still remember, I can tell you my story. I remember when I started to pray. One of the first things I noticed in my own life personally was I used to be very sickly. I used to be super sickly. There is no 3 months that we pass that I would not take anti-malaria, sometimes twice. That was my story for many years. And the excuse I gave myself was that I was AA. Amen. You know, they say AA people used to have malaria more than others. When I started praying, AA or not, years we pass. And no drug. When I started praying, months will pass. Me, amen. You want to know the power of God? Give yourself to prayer. Oh, sometimes the devil will attack you. Sometimes I'm not here telling you. I'm not trying to say if you are maybe you are sick and you are taking drugs because you are not sowing to the spirit. It may be because you are not sowing to the spirit. Because there are some things you do that you actually sow into the flesh. It may not be an outright sin. It may just be disobedience. It may be not keeping the order of God. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can we give us an example of something you do that is very an effective way of sowing to the flesh? Yes. Like what? Thank you. Fornication. That is one very potent way of sowing to the flesh. That is one very, very real way of sowing to the flesh. You find some people, they are carriers in Yoruba, they call it Olori Buruku. The easiest way to become an Olori Buruku is to be sowing to the flesh. Oh, you think that? That thing is real. Olori Buruku are people that in English, they will say they have bad luck. No. It's just that corruption follows them. There are some people it's a curse. But there are some people it's just that corruption. Some of us, goodness and mercy follows us. But there are some people it is opposite of goodness and mercy. Their success syndrome. Those things are activated by sowing to the Bible says, if you sow, it was talking to believers. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. How about you fall in there? Okay, for some of you that have worked with God, there are some times that you fell sick and you knew the sin that you committed. It's not necessarily fornication, because fornication is a big one. It was one fantastic lie that you knew the sin that you committed. Eh? That opened you up to that affliction. You knew. You enter the season of brokenness. You enter the season of affliction. And when you check the spirit, because you must, the Bible says watch and pray. Don't just pray, watch. There are some things that are happening in your life that the first thing you should do is to check, is to run a scan. Say, God, this is not consistent with your promise. This is not consistent with your word. How did this happen? And you see, God is faithful. The Bible says seek and you will find. The Lord will say, I still remember, there's something that was very recently. I ran by, okay, I'm just going to tell us, because some of us will have to learn from this. Because if I'm mentoring you and you're following me, don't learn the good things, don't learn the bad things. I beg you in the name of Jesus. I was talking to somebody on the phone. I said, The person was complaining, you don't sleep enough. Some days you sleep for 2 hours. And I said, hey, is it not my mates that sleep for 1 hour in 24 hours? And the angels of God heard that. Say, you. When I broke down, it was actually a saying. It was actually, now, you would not know how much of a work of the flesh that statement was. It was an arrogant statement. Because I was speaking as if I did not realize that the ability to walk the way I was walking was a function of the grace of God. Are we together? And Lord said, no, for you, you will rest properly. That is not, you don't, are you understanding what I'm saying? There are some things you do. And what happens is that you sow to the flesh and you will reap a consignment of corruption. And you know what corruption is? If you bring corruption, you know, like a rotting fowl. If you bring a rotting fowl here now, you know everybody will run away because of the odor. And if you carry the rotting fowl outside, it will take some time for the odor to go away. There are some things that believers do that will bring, import into their lives a consignment of corruption. You have to be spiritually enlightened. Colossians said, being filled with the knowledge of his will, being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So, fornication is an example of the things that people do that they effectively and practically sow to the flesh. Prayer is an example of things that people do by which they effectively and practically sow to the Spirit. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 5. Somebody please help us with Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 5. Then somebody else, Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. We are still looking at, yes, Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. No. Skip 6. I wanted to show us that, okay, maybe if I have time, if we have time, we'll be able to touch on that. But let's see how the Holy Spirit will help us. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. This is the Lord telling Jeremiah that before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. I sanctified you. I set you apart to be a prophet. It's not something that just happened because Jeremiah learned how to speak in tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is something that was determined even before he was born. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Stop there. This is up. So somebody may say that's Old Testament. This word is not just New Testament. It's Apostle Paul that is speaking. I say, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And he was actually talking about his call to be an apostle. Just like your call to be a Christian, your call to be a saint was predetermined. It's a function of the Bible says who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Are we together? Your salvation is not a coincidence. If you were born in the same place you were born 500 years ago, the chances that you will be born again is less than 0.1%. How many were born? I was born in the lorry. That piece of land called the lorry, if I was born there 500 years ago, and there were people that were born 500 years ago, I will never have heard the gospel. The chance of me hearing the gospel till I die was less than 0.1%. It was in the 19th century that missionaries started bringing the gospel to Africa. So that you were born at a time where, before they even gave birth to you, you were already hearing Jesus is Lord from the womb. It's not a coincidence. And that's why salvation is, the Bible says it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the grace of God. It is grace. That you are you getting what I'm saying? Shebi, it is when you hear the gospel that you will believe. I hope you know that God does not owe anybody salvation. What the just recompense, what we deserve is condemnation. So that you are saved is not anything that you can boost up. That you were born in an environment where you had the opportunity of hearing the gospel. Because even if you heard the gospel, even if an angel appeared to you and you were not discipled, you will not endure. You will not be able to repeat. Why do you think the angel of God told Cornelius to call for Peter? Because the angel of God could have preached the gospel to him. The angel of God could have told him that Jesus is Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that wouldn't have helped him. He needed a system whereby he would be discipled. And Jesus had already ordained his apostles. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. One of the jobs of the apostolic ministry is to raise disciples. Disciples are raised as a result of teaching. This meeting will be more exciting if it were a prayer meeting. But no disciples are raised as a result of prayer meeting. And that's why you find many believers that look as if they are mature. They can pray, they can do divinity, but they don't have the character of Christ. They are suspicious as an idol worshiper. Have you not dealt with such believers? They can keep malice more than snake. But they are believers. And so God cannot use them the way he wants to use them. Bible says it is when you are sanctified that you'll be ready for the master's good work. It's just like I don't go to the kitchen. I carry a dirty plate from the sink. I use it to serve my food I eat. It's only the plates that are clean that I use. Yes, they belong to Jesus. They are born again. But they are not sanctified. And how does he sanctify them? He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians said that he may present her, talking about the church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He said that he may sanctify her by the washing of water, by the word. See, when I came and I wanted to start this work, this apostolic work that the Lord is having us do here, which is not a church, and we don't intend to, in fact, it's very intentional that we are using this place. It's very, very intentional. Because the job of this ministry is to build you up to go and be a blessing in your church and wherever God has planted you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was very easy for us to go the prayer way. Because I assure you, I lie not under God. If we were the prayer way, you will be so excited because you will see the power of God. You will see the power of God. It's not as if you would not see the power of God now. In fact, in the long run, you will see the power of God more and more enduring in your life as a result of what is going on. But the Lord said, teach. I mean, the Lord give us wisdom to teach properly in Jesus' name. Amen. So I said that God ordained you. It was not something that happened arbitrarily. Just like your salvation was predetermined. It is God that determined where you will be born. You didn't know anything about determining where you will come into this world. He determined it. And he so determined that you will come into this world in a time when you have the opportunity to be a child of God. Remember that as a child of God, you are a heir of God. I was looking at that Yoruba devotional that you did. And I was trying to see the meaning of heir. They say ajogu. Person will go chop in wealth. Somebody that will inherit the wealth of somebody is his heir. I don't know if I pronounced the word right. Yes. And let me just tell you this. Your mind is too small to comprehend how rich God is. Seriously, if you just go a bit at astrologer, let them tell you about the universe, the space, how many planets there are, how many stars that God created. Each of them is bigger than this planet, this earth. Eh? Your mind is too small to comprehend how wealthy God is. And for those of us that are believers, God's plan is that we will inherit all things. One day you will sit on thrones and rule over God's universe. That's his plan for you. May we fulfill that plan in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at understanding your calling. So there was a predestination for us to be saints, and then there is also a predestination for us individually to fulfill certain specific assignments in his kingdom. They say in a great house there are many vessels. A spoon is a vessel. A cup is a vessel. A plate is a vessel. I hope you know that there are things that your spoon can do that your plate cannot do. And yet they are all vessels. Let's imagine that they were all made of gold. You know, there are plates that are made of gold. There are spoons that are made of gold. And there are cups that are made of gold. They are all made of the same material. But there are things, they all have different functions. Just like you were predestined to be saved and to become like our Lord Jesus Christ, to be a child of God, to be a saint. A saint is somebody who has been what? Sanctified. God has plans for you. God has specific assignments for you, which you need to understand. And it's when you understand these assignments that you will fulfill them. The Bible says, be not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding the will of the Lord. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. One of the things that will happen when you begin to understand the will of God for you and the calling of God for you, the specific assignment that God has for you as an individual, is that you will just all of a sudden realize that there is no time. You will now begin to try to redeem the time. Let me tell us a secret. This is a digression. If you have... are we ready for this? If you don't have time, especially when you are talking about the thing, what is in view now is are things of eternal value. You want to do something and you do not have enough time to do it. And you realize that this thing you need 4 hours, but the only time you have available is 2 hours. You know, what will you do in such a situation? Should I tell you how to buy back time? I will say this in seller. You know, seller is, I will just say that, go and think about it. I will explain it. You want to buy back time. You have 4 hours. Now, this thing I'm saying will not make sense to you if you are not spiritual. And it's not meant to make sense to everybody. You need 4 hours to do something and you have only 2 hours. So that means you cannot complete that thing. Abi? So what do you do in that situation? Let me tell you one of the most effective things to do. You can... 2 hours is not enough. Use 1 hour to pray in tongues. Then use the remaining 1 hour to go and do it. Then you will now see what they call heavenly wonder. Amen? He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And he was talking about being filled with the Spirit. Because now, let me explain why I said pray in tongues. Actually, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, when you are filled with the Spirit, you'll be able to do... you'll be able to perform beyond your capacity. The Spirit of God filled Elijah, and he ran faster than a chariot. He says that they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. So basically what I'm saying, please, is that if you realize that, because if you realize the call of God, the assignment that God has given you, by the way, if this thing I just said does not make sense to you, forget about it. Don't think about it. You will learn by experience what I'm saying. Because one of the things you will learn in this life is that there is no time. That time is a problem. And so God has given us a technology to redeem time. When you look at the assignment that God has given you, and you look at the time that you have, and you look at the capacity that you have, you will realize that the only way you can redeem time is to partner with the Holy Spirit. Then you will now realize that the Holy Spirit will be doing 10, you will be doing 1. There are some times that you need to pray about a matter. And normally, praying about that matter will require 24 hours of prayer. But because you understand the technology of partnering with the Holy Spirit, you will pray for 1 hour and the prayer will be, and the matter will be clear. Recently, the Lord opened my eyes to see a vision. I saw some very strange demonic activities. And I knew that it was time for prayer. So I went on a short fast. And I slept fasted. And there was somebody else that were fasting together. And I slept. And the Holy Spirit just said, you know what? How I knew how serious this thing was because I was seeing visions. I had a dream. And I saw some demonic activities. And then this other person also had the same you know, the same experience, knew exactly what was going on. And we discussed, and I said, yeah, I'm going to pray and fast over this particular matter. The devil is just played around. Let me tell you what I say about the devil. The devil is a liar. You know what that means? The devil does not acknowledge, even though you are no longer under the dominion of the devil, he will be doing as if you are still under his dominion. So you need to remind him time and time again that you are no longer under his dominion. The devil is very illegal. He knows that he doesn't have jurisdiction somewhere. He will still come. Demons, like, if you know how much the devil tries his luck, you can just sit down in your house now. The devil knows, a demon knows that your house is not his jurisdiction. But just for some reason, you may just see one demon that will just come and show itself. And like, how did you get here? Which road did you follow? And sometimes God even allows those things to train you for warfare. He will tell your angel, stand down, stand down. And let him see that demon so that he can pray. He's not been praying. As I slept fasted and I was waiting upon the Lord, I realized that, you know, many of us fast and we depend on our flesh. When you face the matter, you carry your prayer book. Every demon. Now let me tell you something. Those prayers are very powerful. And you say, by the time I pray for 3 hours, I should be able to solve this. Do you understand what I'm saying? I should be able to solve this problem. Some of you that have experience in prayer, you know that there are some problems that when you sense in the spirit, you have an idea of how long you will pray. Some of you will know that this word is 3 days prayer and fasting. Some of you know that this one is 7 days prayer and fasting. How about, do I have a witness in the house? You are looking at me. You don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, Jesus. Now, I started praying. Now, I was actually disappointed. Let me tell you why I was disappointed. Because instead of me to start the normal prayer, and you know, many of us make noise, well, a lot of noise in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. What do I mean that many of us make a lot of noise? You go to the place of prayer. The Holy Spirit wants you to just wait on him. Let him give you insight. Let him tell you what to do. Let him tell you how to direct your prayer. But no, you are strong now. By the time you do that for 2 hours, then when you are now tired and you now sit down, the Holy Spirit will now say, you see that money that you borrowed 2 years ago and you forgot to return it, go and return it. When you return it, this problem will be solved. You see, because in the spirit realm is a system of legalism and accusations. For those of you that know a little bit about these idol worshippers, they cannot attack or curse a person if they don't have a potent accusation. They'll say, Yahweh ko so pada. Are you understand my point? It's a system of accusations. The Bible says that the accuser of brethren accuses them before the throne of God day and night. So there are sometimes that there are issues, and what the Holy Spirit wants you to do is, if you come to him, he will show you that no, this is what happened. This is how you broke the hedge. Then you begin to repent and pray the right prayers. He said, draw near to understand when you come to pray, so that you don't make the sacrifice of fools. So this particular day, I decided that, okay, I was just going to first of all start by waiting upon the Lord. Enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just did that. I didn't make noise. Amen. You know what it means to wait upon the Lord? Listen to Benny Hinn. Go and get Benny Hinn's teachings on waiting on the Lord. Sometimes you come to the place of prayer and you are quiet for 1 hour. And after I waited upon the Lord and I started praying. After I prayed for like 5 minutes, it just cleared. I was disappointed. I was expecting to pray about this matter for at least 1 hour. But you know what happened? The Holy Spirit. Maybe if I didn't wait upon the Lord and renew strength and receive the endowment of the Holy Spirit, I would have prayed about that thing for 3 hours and it would not clear. I just sense the demonic activity cleared. I say, ah. Hey, see, Jackie, but you didn't even allow me to pray for long. And so I now focus my prayers on more important things. Let me tell you something. God expects you to have vigils regularly.